share with you a few thoughts about Parshas Bahaloscha. We have what I believe might be the absolute most peculiar mitzvah in the entire Torah in Parshas Bahaloscha, and I'll tell you why. Every mitzvah that we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvah. When it comes to Pesach Sheni, if you read the Psukim, it almost sounds as though there was not supposed to be a mitzvah Pesach Sheni, but only because this small group of individuals who are Tmeim, for whatever reason, which we'll see in a moment, they were Tmeim, they were not able to bring the Korban Pesach in its right time. They come, you know, petitioning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, it's not fair, we should be left out. And we want the mitzvah. So Hashem says, oh, you want the mitzvah? Okay, no problem. I'll give you a makeup. I'm going to give you a makeup test. You know, I'm a teacher, I give a final. A kid can't make it to the final, I have to give a makeup test. So I'll give you a makeup Korban Pesach. And that it sounds as though that this little group of Tmeim, these few people, gave the impetus for Hashem to canonize Korban Pesach, Pesach Sheni, as one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, which is very difficult to understand, because Chazal write that the Torah existed 2,000 years before Brias HaOlam. In other words, the Torah existed 4,500 years before Yitzias Mitzrayim. How could you say that? That 4,500 years after the Torah was created, was whatever that means, in some spiritual way, that that's when there began the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, istaka ba'araiso bara alma, the world was created based on the blueprint, that the Torah is the blueprint for the creation. But what do you mean? You're telling me, but it's only a historical event of these Tmeim that asked Hashem to give us this mitzvah of Pesach Sheni? So Rashi, on the Parashan Bahaloscha, already realizes that, of course, it's not, as you read superficially, that these Tumeim are the ones who, you know, made Hashem think or consider to give a Pesach Sheni. Rather, of course, this mitzvah Pesach Sheni was supposed to be given, or would have been given previously, at Matan Torah, along with the rest of the mitzvahs. But since these individuals showed their ahavas hamitzvah, showed their desire and their yearning to come close to Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu megaglin zechus al yedei zakai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives zechus to those who have zechus, and since they showed their love for mitzvah, Hashem makes it sound as though they are the ones to give the impetus for the mitzvah. But of course, even if they wouldn't have, we would have had Pesach Sheni. But that's just an interesting way, the way the Torah articulates, the way the Torah presents the history, if you say, of Pesach Sheni. I'd like to talk about the question or their complaint or their petition. It wasn't a complaint, it was more a petition that these individuals, these tummy individuals, presented to Hashem. This is what they said. They said, Hashem, anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. We're tmeim. Lamani gara. Why should we be left out? Livilti, that will be unable to hakriv as korban Hashem b'mado, that we can't bring the korban Pesach, at its right time, b'soch b'nei Yisrael, amongst b'nei Yisrael. And because of that petition, that yearning, that complaint, in a sense, that they lodged, they're missing out. Lama nigra, why should we be left out? Because of that, they are considered forevermore. They're going to have the zechus to be considered, even though really they aren't, but they're considered as the generators of Pesach Sheni. So a few questions. Number one, the Or HaChaim asked the following question. The Kli Yakar asked the following question. They introduced their words with a two-word preamble. Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. Four words. We're tmeim. Why is it fair that we should be left out from the Korban Pesach? And everybody asks, I don't understand. If you're tmeim, that's why you can't bring the Korban Pesach. It's not that since we're tmeim, why can't we bring the Korban Pesach? We're tmeim. And, well, if you're tmeim, you're not allowed to bring any Korban. If you're tummy, you're not allowed to eat any Korban. If you're tummy, you can't bring a Korban Chatas, you can't bring a Korban Ashram, you can't be. If a woman gives birth and she's tummy, she can't bring a Korban Yoledes, you can't bring a Korban Neder, you can't bring a Korban Nedava. We have a list of a dozen or two dozen Korbanos, and if you're tummy, you can't bring any of them. So what's their complaint specifically about, oh, it's not fair, why can't we bring the Korban Pesach? We don't see that complaint lodged about any other Korban that they're unable, that a tummy is unable to bring. Why are they picking Korban Pesach that they're unable to bring? It's not fair. So, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, maybe there's something unique about Korban Pesach, you know, because why were they Tmeim? When they introduced their claims, they said, Anachnu Tmeim Lenefesh Adam, what were they Tmeim from? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually has two suggestions. The Gemara in Sukkah, I think, actually, has a number of suggestions why they were Tmeim. They weren't just happened to be Tmeim. tmeim. They were tmeim because of what opinion says they were a mace mitzvah. They had involved themselves in, there was a mace mitzvah where nobody was available to take care of a certain mace, and they got involved in that individual's kavura to help them get a proper kavura. So they were doing an incredible mitzvah, a mace mitzvah. Another opinion was that these were actually the individuals who were responsible for carrying Arono Shel Yosef, Yosef's coffin, all the way up from Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael. And they had a great shlichus, a very important mitzvah. So they thought, and they sort of present to Hashem, it's not fair, we're doing such a great mitzvah, whether it's the mitzvah of one opinion of Mace Mitzvah, whether it's the other opinion of carrying Yosef's remains to Eretz Yisrael. And they thought, you should, Hashem, have some kind of, you know, dispensation for us. We're not, you know, stam people who became tummy. It's not that we just bumped into we bumped into something that made us tummy. We were doing your ruts, and we were doing your will, something very special, very honorable. So they thought that maybe there should be some leniency or dispensation because they had such a good reason. They should have some kind of opportunity to exercise carbon paste because they weren't just by chance tamei meis. They were tamei meis for a very noble reason. So they thought they should be given some extra chance. That's one possibility of why they claimed specifically by the carbon pesach, anachnu tameim lenefesh adam. Or maybe, says Or HaChaim, there's a Korban Chagiga. Every Jew, when they go up to Yerushalayim three times a year, they bring the Korban Chagiga. It happens to be that in Shul for the past week, from the beginning of Shavuos for the following week, there's no Tachanun in Shul. Why is there no Tachanun in Shul? You know, they say a joke. They say the Hasidim are very happy when there's no Tachanun, but for the Litvaks, the Kalta Litvaks, it's very hard for them. They like Tachanun because it's a sad tefillah, asking Hashem for forgiveness, and you know, so it's hard. You know, no Tachlin days are happy for the Hasidim. It's sad for the Litvish who enjoy the pain and the sorrow and the misery of being a Litvak. So it was a hard. You know, I'm a Litvish guy, and it was a hard week to go a whole week without saying Tachlin. But Baruch Hashem, we're back to our misery of having Tachlin. So the reason why there's no Tachlin for the entire week after Shavuos in Shul and in davening is because the three times a year when the Korban Chagiga is able to be brought, the first day of Yontif of every of the Yomim Tovim, if you don't bring it on the first day, we give you seven more days to bring it. We have a whole week to bring it. You're supposed to bring a Korban Chagiga on the first day of Pesach or Erev Pesach. If you didn't make it then, don't worry, you have till the end of Pesach. You're first supposed to bring a Korban Chagiga when you come up to Yerushalayim for Sukkos. You didn't make it the first day, you could bring the Korban Chagiga for the duration of Sukkos. And similarly, you're supposed to bring a Korban Chagiga when you come up to Yerushalayim for Shavuos. If you didn't make it for Shavuos, well, Shavuos is only one day in Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry, you could make it for the following 6 days after Shavuos. And because those 6 days after Shavuos are a tashlumen of the Korban Chagiga, therefore, even though it's not Yontif anymore, it's a day, two, three, four, five, six after Shavuos is over, it still has the aura of Shavuos, because the day that you could be the Korban Chagiga of Shavuos, and therefore there's no Tachlin for the next, that following week. So says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, maybe they felt that, how come if I'm Tameh, every other Korban I could bring when I become available, I could bring that other Korban. But when it comes to the Korban Chagiga, I have another week. When it comes to another Korban, I'll just bring when I am Tor. Here there's a Korban that has a very specific date. The Korban Pesach is a very specific date, and you miss it, I don't have a week to make it up. So that's why we feel left out. Maybe that was their specific, that was why they were isolating the Korban Pesach, because it has a set time and there's no makeup times. But fundamentally, we still have to wonder, why is it that they are arguing that the Korban Pesach of all the Korbanos, that's the Korban that they feel they're missing out of. They're missing out on, because they're Tumayim. That's the first question. Why are they isolating? Why are they specifying Korban Pesach? Question number two. When they lodged their petition, their words were, why should we be left out? Lamani gara levilti hakrives karban Hashem. We can't bring Hashem's karban. Bisoch b'nei Yisrael. What do those three words add? Why can't they just say, Lamani gara, why are we left out that we can't bring a karban? Period. What is added with the three words Besoch Bnei Yisrael? Lamani garala viltil hakrives karban Hashem b'mado. Why should we be left out that we can't bring Hashem's karban in the right time? Sounds perfect. What's added with the three words Besoch Bnei Yisrael? They seem to be absolutely redundantly superfluous. What's the point of those three words? That's the second question. The third question is right after the Torah tells us about Pesach Sheni, the Torah tells us something very interesting that we don't find elsewhere. The Torah says after Pesach Sheni, V'chi yagur itchem ger, if a ger comes to join your people, you know what? He should bring a korban Pesach. You know why? Because geirim and Jews both should have the same halachos. Chuka achas yelachem v'lager ulezrach ha'aretz. There should be one set of laws that govern both you and your geirim. They're no different. Geirim also have to do the mitzvah of korban Pesach. Can I ask you a very simple question? Does it say that you should bench after you have a meal? And you know what? Even if a ger is megai, he should also bench or she should also bench? Does it say that a man has to put on tefillin and if somebody's a ger, they should also put on tefillin? Does it say that you have to sit in a sukkah or shake a lulav and if somebody's a ger, they should also sit in a lulav, sit in a sukkah and shake a lulav? Well, it does. There is some mention of sukkah by the word ezrach by sukkah. Does it say by any of the mitzvahs that if you're a ger, you also have to do that mitzvah? What's unique about Korban Pesach specifically that the Torah has to specify that a ger needs to bring a Korban Pesach? And why by Korban Pesach? Why is Korban Pesach the paradigm to teach us that geirim are equal to all others in all the mitzvahs? That's our third question. Our fourth question, finally, if we look at the different mitzvahs of the Torah, the 248 positive mitzvahs, only two of the mitzvahs asay carry with them a chiyuv of kares for not fulfilling that mitzvah asay. One is bris milah, if a person doesn't get a bris milah. The other is Korban Pesach. I had a student a number of years ago, a student of Russian descent. He came on our summer program from a not very secular family. Came on our summer program. We convinced him the very last minute that he should stay in Israel for this once he was there already for the summer. He should just stay and go to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, he stayed a year in Eretz Yisrael. And he became committed to Torah, committed to mitzvahs, and he became a very good learner. He was a very bright boy, and he was serious about his learning. He stayed in Israel a second year, came back to yeshiva and continued learning in yeshiva. He was already 21 years old until he was ready and was able to be convinced and had the Mesiras Nefesh to go through Bris Milah. Learning full-time in yeshiva 2 full years and he wasn't ready to get a Bris Milah. It was too scary for him. And finally, one of the Rebbeim had been speaking and prevailed upon him to, you know, they found a urologist and anesthesia, and they, you know, I understand, bris milah, there's a lot of, again, if a person's not lucky enough to get a bris milah when they're 8 days old, then there's a mesiras nefesh. I understand, if a person doesn't have that level of mesiras nefesh, okay, it carries with it something as the severity of kares. But do you know what the demands of bringing a Korban Pesach is? The halach of Korban Pesach is that if you have to be, you only have to bring a Korban Pesach if you're within a 10 or 15 minute walk of the Beis HaMikdash. Only if you're what would they call Derech Krova. If you're B'Derech Rechoka, if you're more than about 15 minutes walk from the Beis HaMikdash, you're not really obligated to bring the Korban Pesach. You can, plenty of people do. But if you have to travel far away, you don't have to bring the Korban Pesach. So if I would tell you, everybody who's here on Zoom today, if I would tell you, you know, you have a mitzvah, that you have to go with your family to Prime Bistro, to Traditions, have an ounce of meat, and go home. That's as difficult as Korban Pesach is. It's not so bad. A little bit of meat with the family, 10-minute walk, and if you don't do it, you get korban, you get kares. Where's the mesiras nefesh for, you know, it's not such a big mitzvah. It's not something that involves such great sacrifice that should carry with it the burden of the severity of kares. There seems to be, there needs to be, I would assume, some linkage, some common denominator that links, that is shared by Pesach and Bris Milah, that makes both of them so severe. I'd like to answer all of our questions, specifically, why did the Temeim specifically want to bring Korban Pesach more than any other Korban? Why did they add the words when they read their petition? Lama nigara b'soch b'nei Yisrael? What are they adding with those three words? Why is there a need to talk about the ger's obligation to bring korbanos, to bring the Korban Pesach? Every mitzvah the ger has to participate in. And finally, what's the link? What's the linkage? What's the commonality between milah and Korban Pesach? I'd like to share with you a thought that I saw from one of the Rebbeim in Yeshiva, Rabbi Michal Rosenzweig. Let's think about Bris Milah for a minute. What's the idea of a Bris Milah? Well, Bris Milah is the inauguration of a little boy into Bnei Yisrael. If you think of it in a different perspective, it's a branding. Literally, a branding of a Jew. In the same way a ranch, a cattle ranch, brands its cattle with a brand, So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brands Klal Yisrael, everyone, and that bris is that unique bond that binds all Jews together with that brand of all Jewish men to males together with that brand of bris milah. And on the other hand, takes that whole composite of Jewish people that were all branded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somehow and some way, Korban Pesach has that same quality. Korban Pesach, the bringing of the Korban Pesach, all of Klal Yisrael coming to bring that Korban Pesach, also binds Klal Yisrael together, and binds Klal Yisrael together too, in the service of Hashem. And with this idea that the Korban Pesach shears the linkage to Bris Milah in that it's a binding of all of Klal Yisrael together, I'm going to show you how that could explain all of our questions about Korban Pesach, about Pesach Sheni. Why was it that the Tameim were concerned that, oh, with Tamei, it's not fair that we can't bring the Korban Pesach? Why weren't they worried about any other of the dozens of Korbanos that they can't participate in being Tamei? The answer is because they weren't just worried about that they can't bring a Korban. They realized that the Korban Pesach represents their connection to the rest of Klal Yisrael. It's the Korban Pesach that joins all of Klal Yisrael together, and that's what they would be missing out on, and that's what they felt at a loss without. Lama nigara, why are we losing out? Why are we missing out? Levilti'a krivas Korban Hashem, without being able to bring this special Korban, that Korban that is unique because it binds us all together. And then what did they say? What three words did they say? Those three superfluous words, those three redundant words, those three unnecessary words? Besoch b'nei Yisrael. That's precisely what they were trying to convey when they said, why are we missing out? Lama nigarala, we can't bring the Korban Pesach. Besoch b'nei Yisrael. Because the point is not that they can't bring the Korban Pesach. The point is that they're missing out the quality that Korban Pesach had of being Besoch b'nei Yisrael. And therefore, those words were not redundant. If anything, they are exactly the reason why they're making a claim to bring the Korban Pesach, as opposed to any other Korban in the world, because this is the Korban that makes them Besoch B'nai Yisrael. And because of this precise point, that Korban Pesach is what binds all Jews together, it's what makes you Besoch B'nai Yisrael, and it's the reason why they claim they want to have Korban Pesach, it's the reason why they said the words Besoch B'nai Yisrael, is for that same reason that right after the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, the Torah has to say only by Korban Pesach and not by any other mitzvah, you should know that a ger also has to bring a Korban Pesach. Because you know what? This Korban Pesach that is the bond among all Jews, you might think that that bond of Besoch B'nai Yisrael is among all those who are born Jewish. You know, my wife, my mother-in-law is online, my wife, if she tried all she wants, she'll never be able to be the president of the United States of America. And that's because my wife was born in Canada. So she got a green card. First she got a social security number. She's able to work in America. She studied here in America. She got a green card. She got citizenship. Maybe she married me so she could get citizenship. But whatever it is, now she has citizenship. She's not going to be able to be the president of the United States of America. So I would think maybe the same way a ger wants to join Klal Yisrael and commit himself to the Jewish people and the Jewish history and Jewish, everything Jewish, okay, no problem. They could do all the mitzvahs in the world. They could be a member. They could be a partner. But maybe they're not going to bring a Korban Pesach. Maybe they're not family. Because maybe this bond, this family bond that the Korban Pesach represents, this Besoch B'nai Yisrael, only includes those who share the family history. They don't share the family history. And for that reason, the Torah specifically has to tell you by this mitzvah more than any other mitzvah in the Torah, by Korban Pesach, Chuka achas lachem, yiyah lachem v'lager. One set of mitzvahs for you and for the ger. Even those who don't share your family history, if they made the decision, the commitment to join the family destiny, that also is sufficient. Furthermore, finally, this idea of the bris bond of Korban Pesach could explain one last peculiarity of the Korban Pesach. In general, we know that there are two genres, there are two types, two archetypes of korbanos. There's a korban yachid and a korban sibur. Let's start with the korban sibur. Korban sibur is one korban that's brought on behalf of the entire Jewish people. Every day in the morning, there's a korban tamid, one animal, for the whole Jewish people. Every afternoon, there's a korban tamid shel bein arbayim for the entire Jewish people. Every yontif, there's a korban musaf, one korban musaf for the entire Jewish people. There's one Sir LaShem on Yom Kippur, one Sir LaZaz on Yom Kippur for the entire Jewish people. That's a Korban Tamid. I'm sorry, that's a Korban Sibur, one Korban brought for the entire Jewish people. Then, of course, we have the other type of Korban, which is a Korban Yachid. An individual sins, various types of sins, and they bring Korban Chatas, they bring Korban Asham. A person wants to pledge, they're so grateful for whatever it is, they pledge a Korban Nedava, a Neder. A person becomes a Nazir. A woman gives birth, she brings a Korban Yoledes. A person became a Mitzorah, they bring a Korban Mitzorah. And millions of Jews bring millions of Korbanos, that's a Korban Yachid. Each individual brings their own. Except when it comes to Korban Pesach. When Korban Pesach, every Jew has to register for a Korban. Every Jew has to sign on for a Korban. Every Jew has to eat a kezias of the Korban. And yet, it's considered a Korban Tzibur. It's a Korban Tzibur, just like Korban Tamid, just like Korban Musaf. How many of these Shepselach, how many of these Korban Pesos were brought? Well, Josephus speaks about how many Korban Pesos were brought. But we don't have to look at Josephus, because the Gemara in Pesach and Taf Samach Dalet also tells us how many Korbanos Pesach were brought. And the Gemara in Pesachim tells us a story that one day there was one of the kings, King Agrippas. You know the street in Yerushalayim, Agrippas HaMelech. Agrippas Street. Well, Agrippas HaMelech wanted to count. He wanted to take a census of the Jewish people. But he didn't have the financial backing that the IRS has in America to do a census and send out census takers to all the cities. He had a much cheaper and more a simpler way of taking the census. Instead of sending out messengers to all the different cities and towns around the distant far reaches of Eretz Yisrael, he figured, let me wait till Pesach when everybody comes to Yerushalayim. And he told the Kohen Gadol, do me a favor, please, when you bring the Korban Pesachs, please remove one kidney from each Korban Pesach and put it in a pile. And then we'll count the kidneys, we'll see how many Korban Pesachs there are. And then we'll multiply by the average amount of how many people are usually signed up on one given Korban Pesach. You know, when you want to find how many people are at a rally, how many people are at a demonstration, so the helicopter flies on top and they look at the density of how many people are at a certain area. They multiply by the size of the area and they figure out how many people are at the rally. Well, they didn't have that ability in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so they figured out they would just count the number of Korban Pesachs were brought, how many kidneys of a Korban Pesach, one kidney per animal. I know an animal has two kidneys. They took one kidney per animal. And then multiply by whatever multiplier would be the average of how many Jews sign up on a Korban Pesach. And lo and behold, how many Korban Pesachs were brought that year that they did the census? The Gemara tells us 1.2 million sheep were brought on that day of the census. So whatever the numbers of Bnei Yisrael, whether that means that there were 12 million Jews, that means there was 6 million Jews, whatever the number, the multiplier is, not really sure. But there are 1.2 million Korban Pesachs. And that's called a Korban Tzibur? Over a million animals, it's called a Korban Tzibur. Why? Doesn't each individual have to their own obligation to register, their own obligation to eat, and yet it's called a Korban Tzibur? The answer is everything that we're saying right now. A Korban Pesach, as many as there might be, represent that bond between Bnei Yisrael. And of course, that communal national bris that we have with Hashem. In that sense, the Korban Pesach is the ultimate Korban Tzibur. And that's why the Tmeim wanted specifically Korban Pesach, because they wanted that bond with Bnei Yisrael. That's why when they petitioned Hashem, they said Bisoch, they added those three words, Bisoch Bnei Yisrael. That's why we're petitioning, because we want to be Bisoch Bnei Yisrael. That's why when it comes to Korban Pesach, the Torah has to add that Gerim are the same as every Jew, because you might think a Ger might not be and have this bond. No, a Ger does. That's why it's the same as Bris Mila. They both carry a Chiyuv Kares for the lack of fulfillment, because of the same reason. Because it's that binding, that bond and bris between all of Klal Yisrael together that unites us in our service of Hashem. This past Shabbos was the Shloshim of Meron. And there's so many things in the past few weeks that really caused Klal Yisrael to feel a sense of unity. We had the situation in Rachman Litzlan at Meron, Karlin Stolin, the tragedy of Karlin Stolin in Givat Ze'ev, the attacks all over Eretz Yisrael, the anti-Semitic attacks here on this coast of the Atlantic. But I don't think we should need the troubles from without to focus ourselves on the connections that we have within. Last week in the speech, in this Parsha Perspectives class, I spoke about the importance that when you see another Jew, to pour brachas upon them. That when you see another Jew, to think brachas upon them. Even if you don't articulate that, to think. Just see another Jew, just think positivity. Feel positivity. Pour positivity towards that other Jew. I think that's the same yisod that we learned from the Korban Pesach. That we have to feel that connection. Not just wait when times are bad. Not wait till we have people attacking us. But to just every connection that we have, whether people look like us, whether they don't look like us, someday, you know, very soon, we're going to go to Yerushalayim, we're going to bring our own Korban Pesach, and we're going to bump into people who don't talk our language. They might talk Yiddish, they might talk Hebrew, they might talk Spanish. They might not look like you and I, they might not dress like you and I, they might not have the same ideas of they might not cover our heads in the same way, but we're all going to be united in bringing that same Korban Pesach. And hopefully, to the extent that we're able to realize that deep bond that every Jew has one with another, whether we're more right than one another, we're more left than one another, whether we see things the same way, whether we're Democrats, Republicans, or who knows what, Likud, whatever, it doesn't matter all the differences. What matters is that we're Jews and we have to feel that connection. And hopefully, to the extent that we feel that connection more and more, we should be zocha very speedily to bring that Korban Pesach and experience that unique connection that Korban Pesach brings. So I want to thank you all for joining. Wish you a wonderful day.